As patriots, it's our duty to rise up in a world full of darkness. Evil comes in many forms, and it lurks around unexpected corners. It's time to stop wondering what will happen if it comes to war. War is already here. It's time to rise. Rise up for truth. Rise up for freedom. Rise up for our rights as American citizens. And now, at the head of the militia, here's your host, Mickey Garris.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back, my fellow patriots, and I'm not talking about the football team. Anyway, we're here today, and I hope you guys have had a great week. I promised I'd update you on my hunting, and let me tell you, it's been a little bit slow. I'm a week left in the season, and just haven't been able to get out there and get the job done. Anyways, I feel like we had a really good show last week, and if you guys remember right, we talked a lot about the police shooting that happened at Goodwill, and the perception of the public, and just what kind of a beating our police take day in and day out, and how they really don't get the respect or recognition that they deserve, and how there's just a lack of general understanding from the citizens on what takes place, what kind of training these law enforcement officers have to have, and what takes place if they're ever into a situation like this, what happens after the fact, and what it means to them, and what's the investigation look like. So I thought on today's show I'd continue that, and I've invited a special guest. We have Sheriff Mark Garten here from Polk County.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming, Mark. I'm excited to have you here so you can maybe help fill in some gaps and answer some questions for the community here, because as you know, in full disclosure to the audience, I'm friends with Mark, and you guys have already figured out I'm a huge advocate for law enforcement. I love these guys, and I feel like we can't thank them enough for the job that they do. You know, after this last shooting, I got really frustrated with what I was hearing and the way people were talking about your deputies and officers that were involved, and just what we've been seeing in this country for far too long about the treatment towards law enforcement officers and the armchair quarterbacks that think they know better and think that you guys should always give somebody the benefit of the doubt and not do what you guys have to do, unfortunately, to keep yourself safe and protect the others. So I wanted to get you on here and maybe we can shed some light on this, and if anything, people will go away with a better understanding.
Sure. Yeah, I'll do my best.
So, well, yeah, thanks for being here. So let's get right to it. So what started me on this topic was obviously that shooting that took place a couple weeks ago in Goodwill, and it was involving the Polk County Point Team.
Yep.
And, you know, it's been in all the newspapers this last couple weeks. The Polk County Itemizer Observer has a story on it. The Salem Reporter did a story on it. And one of the key things I want to point out, it says on October 3rd, a Polk County grand jury decided no prosecution was warranted in the shooting. The September 18th incident was investigated by Salem Police. So after the shooting took place, there was an investigation, a thorough investigation, and then it gets sent to a grand jury, which is a group of citizen peers mm-hmm. that review all the facts and the findings and determine if this case should go further for prosecution or if there's no reason to press any further charges. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, that's the process. So once the incident occurs, we will have another agency that's not necessarily involved with that do the investigation. And in this instance, it was Salem Police because they weren't on the team. We have in the past have used Oregon State Police to do the same thing, just depending on each circumstance. And every county has to have their own use of deadly force protocol, which outlines this is, you know, X, Y, and Z, and this is who's going to do the investigation if these people are involved. and if it, you know, meets that criteria. And so Salem Police, they did the investigation, and basically our process stops. You know, we don't continue the investigation. The sheriff's office doesn't. We cooperate with Salem Police and everything they need to do. And it takes a lot of time. It's not instant. It's not quick by any means. And so I think people sometimes get frustrated with the fact that they don't know something that, you know, they don't necessarily need to know at that point because it's not hasn't came up in the investigation.
That's good. You know, in doing the due diligence for show prep here, I went back and I was trying to understand the process myself on what I could find out and picking people's brains. And I actually got my hands on Polk County's use of deadly force protocols.
And
it would take multiple shows for me to read just the information that's in that.
Yeah.
I was actually very surprised at the detail and the amount of thought that went into putting those protocols together. And just can you talk a little bit more? Can you kind of give me a breakdown in layman's terms, so to speak, on what those protocols are? What would cause an officer to have to make that awful decision to you know, defend himself and possibly take somebody's life?
Okay. So for those protocols, first, though, it was created by the legislature some time ago. We call it Senate Bill 111 that mandated each county to get together. Yes, and he's holding up the plan that's about 30 pages long or so. And so
very detailed.
Yeah. And so we have to get together and review these things and based on state statute. And so it really does outline the investigative part of it, not necessarily the use of force policy for each agency, because those can be slightly different. But for my office, you know, if someone is going to be a threat to someone else or the officer, and it rises to that level of, you know, serious physical injury or death, then we have the right to intervene and have the ability to use lethal force against someone else. Whether that ends up, you know, resulting in that person dying, it doesn't necessarily matter. It's the use of force that we use, which is lethal force, is what we call it.
The possibility of some suspect possibly being able to inflict some type of harm on another person.
Yeah, and that's a lot of the time what it is. I mean, or on the deputy, you know, themselves. So it's really to protect ourselves and someone else from getting seriously hurt or die.
Now, what kind of training do the deputies have or law enforcement in general? I know, obviously, there's a extensive police academy they have to attend mm-hmm. and become certified as a law enforcement officer. And then there's obviously on-the-job training that's extensive. What specific training gets them ready for this and prepares them for
all of it? I mean, from day one, 16 weeks in the police academy, you know, 12 to 14 weeks of field training with a coach in a car together. That's just the beginning. And then every, you know, we have mandated things within our policy that says of use of force policy tests, use of force scenario-based training, reality-based training that we use. And so we use all those every year, multiple times throughout the year. So that's the ongoing training, because then case law changes or rules and law change that says certain things and we have to adjust our training. So it's always very fluid.
So these guys are experts.
Yes. I mean, really are. We have to be.
And throughout the course of training, if there's any deficiencies or, you know, sometimes people just aren't always cut out for the job, you are able to identify that and make those decisions and move on, correct?
Yeah, we've unfortunately, you know, throughout the years that we get to a point where the training, you know, just isn't taking with somebody, and that's a conversation we have with them about, you know, the reality of the situation. And most of the time, by the time we get to that point, though, we're either way past that or it's time to talk about that change.
Okay. So what do you think, kind of going back, if somebody has to use this force mm-hmm. and the shooting just occurred, what's the first thing that happens in the process after that?
The first thing. So, I mean, essentially we stop what we do. We make sure the scene, wherever we're at, is safe. That's the That's the first thing. And then we basically call in folks to come in to do the investigation. But it is really about securing the scene, making sure that everybody that gets separated from one another, so they're not talking. And these are the officers and deputies that I'm talking about. We kind of separate them, and then we also put peer support folks. So with each individual officer or deputy, just so that they're taken care of, because it is a traumatic event by far, and we don't want to discount that or just put somebody off by themselves.
Okay. And then you have an outside agency that is not involved in that specific situation.
Correct.
Come in and take over the investigation.
Yep.
And what's the reason for bringing an outside agency in?
Transparency. You know, we don't want to have, I don't want to have people to be able to say, hey, look, you guys are covering up your own thing, because we're not. I mean, there's nothing that we have that we want to cover up, and we want the truth to come out. So that's why we have another agency come in and handle it. And they handle it just like a criminal investigation. It's not a—
They don't treat the officers any different than—
No, they have the full sit down in a room, interviews, interrogation type of atmosphere sometimes.
Gosh, I can't imagine for an officer that knows they did what was right and was doing a job that we've asked them to do and protected people in the process, having to go through essentially being treated like a criminal through the investigation, through
sort
law enforcement. And then obviously in the public scrutiny that they get on top of that until all the facts come out.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not a good feeling because, you're in that position where you're having to really defend what you did. And you typically you'll have a union representative, a union attorney with you during that. So, I mean, you have some help. You're not on your own, but it's very, very stressful. And I know from talking to the folks that we've had gone through that.
So after the outside agency, and in this instance, it was Salem PD.
Yep.
After they complete their investigation, which consists of witness interviews.
Lots of witness interviews.
And I'm sure video footage, anything they can get their hands on that would help paint the picture of exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Then what do they do with their findings? Do they present it to the DA for the district attorney for the county?
Yeah, so they work with, just like a regular investigation, they would bring in the district attorney. And I know Mr. Felton was part of this process. He gets the case ready, working with Salem PD to bring it forward to grand jury. And then grand jury, what that looks like is seven people in a room that review all the evidence. They hear witness testimony, really give almost, it's almost like a little mini trial, but it's not a full-on courtroom like that. But they see all the evidence, and then they deliberate on what they think. Does it fit the crime statute? Did this person go outside Oregon law or not? Or was he justified in using force like he did?
I know a little bit about that. I got selected one time for Marion County's grand jury.
Oh.
And I had to sit in a room for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And it was pretty crazy, but it was interesting to learn that side of the process and have a better understanding of the judicial system and what really goes into the decision making before things go to prosecution, and or whether or not they're going to go to prosecution.
That's what the grand jury determines. If that case is going to move forward one way or the other with within the DA's office to the courtroom. So, and that happens on any felony cases. So it's not just officer involved shootings or things like that, but any felony case, if it's going to move forward, it goes through grand jury.
And the important thing for the citizens to understand, like any jury, that's made up of a group of their peers that don't have ties.
Random people.
Random people.
Yep.
And, so the idea is their decision is going to be non-biased, and they're just going to uphold the law the way it's written.
Yeah, they look at the law and read it. They hear the testimony. Then they make a decision if they think it violates law or not. And then it moves forward or it doesn't, just depending on what they hear. There's times where in the past where they've, in cases that not necessarily that I've been involved with, but I've seen where they don't move things forward, where, we've arrested someone based on, some probable cause, but they don't actually move it forward. And that doesn't mean that it's, wrong or illegal what happened. It just means that grand jury didn't feel that it met the threshold.
What an awesome responsibility that is when you think of it. And it just, to me, it kind of reiterates how great our justice system is for the flaws that we might think it has.
Yeah.
It's still the best system in the entire world. and the fact that the people get to be a part of that. And the more you engage, the better of a society we can have. And, and it's really us driving, so to speak. So, all right. Well, hey, we got to take off for a commercial break here, but we'll be back with more from Sheriff Mark Garten, hopefully answering all our questions.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Mickey Garris.
All righty, Patriots, welcome back. We have our special guest, Sheriff Mark Garten from Polk County, here today. And he's been telling us a lot of great things and just helping me understand better exactly what it means for these officers to go through a shooting like what happened a couple weeks ago at the Goodwill in Polk County. And I mentioned there was just a lot of public speculation, a lot of the information didn't get out there as quickly as some of us would have liked. And so it's really tough on these law enforcement officers that have to live through this. And geez, Mark, I can only imagine the type of mental health issues that you have to be concerned about with your deputies and any law enforcement officer that has gone through such a traumatic experience.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, I mean, I've known folks who don't necessarily come back from it, just based on, because it's not something that any of us want to ever do. I mean, I don't know a single cop, nor have I ever known one that says this is when I want to go out and take a life. That is not what we do. We most of the time we go above and beyond to not do that.
Yeah, putting your own lives in danger to try to save somebody that's an absolute threat.
Yeah.
So yeah, I can imagine, and it goes beyond just the officer. I imagine their whole entire family has to deal with these stresses and the whole mental health aspect of it.
It's just the amount of pressure is just tremendous on everybody, not just, even the department or the office that they're from, because we're family and we really want to take care of each other. And it's hard because it's something that not everybody experiences. So
what kind of resources are available in the community for, what's kind of the protocol to get these guys the help and the counseling, the special attention they might need to get healthy again?
So within that deadly force protocol that you have, before anybody can come back to work, they have to be seen by a psychologist to get cleared, essentially, before they can come back to work. So that's the minimum. But we also have peer support teams, and we also have like EAP through my office and that kind of thing too. So we want to make sure they're ready to come back when they're ready, not make them come back too soon, because that's not going to do anybody any good. So we really just evaluate how they're doing in consultation with their psychologist to make sure they're ready. Sometimes they're not ready when we think they are, but that's okay, because we want them to be okay when they come back.
Absolutely. That's so important. You don't want anybody coming back that's not quote unquote fit for duty if they're still going to have mental issues.
No.
And these guys got to be on their A game every time they put that uniform on and go out there to work.
Yeah, don't need any distractions. That's for sure.
Yeah. Speaking of distractions, I'm sure social media, just modern technology.
It doesn't help, does it?
I'm sure it doesn't. Instant access to the news and everybody is an armchair quarterback. How are you guys dealing with that and what are the pros and cons of it? I'm sure there's sometimes that it's helped, but I'm sure like in cases with this shooting, it's actually been pretty negative for you guys to read.
I think there's a small sect of people that have that negative view. I truly believe that most of the people support and trust what we're doing and trust the process. The people that are the loudest sometimes are the ones on Facebook that feel free to comment and say whatever it is they want to say, even though it's not true. And so that's frustrating. And the best thing we can do really for the folks that are involved is to not look at Facebook or social media, just because it can frustrate them way more than they need to be frustrated.
Yeah, I can imagine. I myself use Facebook and you know that I'm pretty vocal. Typically, I'm going
to tell you. No, you're not.
I'm going to tell you to your face whatever I decide to write down on Facebook. But, Facebook's got me into a little bit of the hot seat before too. And the backlash and the negative feedback that you can get, if you're focused on that, it can really be damaging. So
it definitely can.
I could just imagine how hard it would be for those guys that have to do this job and for their families to follow up and have to read some of that negativity.
Yeah, for sure.
So tell me about the point team. So I know they're a interagency group. They're made up of multiple different agencies.
Yep.
And their focus is on drug prevention, I believe.
Sort of.
Okay. Tell me about that.
So POINT is Polk County Interagency Narcotics Team. And what that is we have a detective from each law enforcement agency in Polk County, except Salem. And then OSP has someone on the team too. So we work together and we focus on intervening where there's drug sales. So not necessarily, prevention is part of it, but I mean, we really go after dealers. We're not going after just the street level user. It's the someone that's bringing in drugs to our community and selling it in our community, hurting our community. That's what it's about.
You're kind of going after the kingpin that has the potential to do the biggest negative impact, you know, widespread on the community.
Yeah, if we can, yeah, the best case we can work, and if they're selling a lot of drugs, that's good, because then we can make a big impact, like you said.
You know, I was defending this shooting and the officers that were involved, and one of the things I said, and it kind of got a little heat for it because I was accused of not having compassion. We all have compassion for loss of life. Loss of life is sacred. Life is sacred, and obviously we want to prevent that. But, you know, I keep thinking guys that are out there peddling this crap, they're not only have they destroyed their own life and they made that choice for themselves, but their influence are kids. And, you know, you think if they're, you know, selling it to 10 people and those 10 people are selling it to 10 people each, you know, just how it spreads like wildfire and how many lives are lost because of that single action.
And down the road, yeah.
Down the road, exactly. And so, again, not that I don't want to have compassion for a loss of life, but if you can get somebody like that off the streets, that action is going to save so many lives. And they're targeting the kids. They're not necessarily going after adults. They want to get the kids hooked at the young age, and they're ruining their lives for the rest of the life.
Yeah, it ruins lives all the way around that person and the people they have influence over. You know, in that case, though, specifically, the Goodwill, there was, you know, he pulled a gun on deputies and detectives. So there's a little difference in terms of just a drug dealer that we fought with, but it's someone that cross that line, and so that's something that we're not going to just sit back and just let that happen.
Right. So, you pull a gun on law enforcement, you get the consequences.
Something will typically happen.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Mickey Garris.
Back from a quick break, and we're here with Sheriff Mark Garten, and we were just talking about the POINT team that they have in Polk County. That's the interagency narcotics team that basically is working to stop the major drug sellers in the community.
The dealers, yes.
The dealers in the community. So tell me about some of their success. How's crime been since I know the POINT team hasn't always gone on. There's been some funding issues, and it takes all the agencies being able to fund the positions to keep the POINT team going. So when they're running, what do you guys see with the crime and the drugs?
I mean, we find a lot of it, and there's a lot that we don't find, I'm sure, but they are out there. They're busy all the time, unfortunately. So across the county, inside the cities, outside the cities, it doesn't matter. Drugs are more and more prevalent. And easier to get, and they're cheaper now, for instance, than 3 or 4 years ago. And so that makes just more available to people.
So they're doing a good job for the community.
I can't imagine us not being there and having just the drug crime just increase. Because, I mean, we get pounds, you know, off the street at one time.
Oh, wow.
And that is a huge That's not a user amount by any means.
So tell me where the funding comes from for this point team, and how do we ensure that you guys are going to keep it going?
So the funding is from each agency. They put that person, a detective, onto the team, and then each agency just puts in $5,000 into this group, and that allows them to function throughout the year to buy drugs and that kind of thing. But it is really just a commitment from each of the individual agencies to put someone on the team. So, and the sheriff's office supervises that team, so I put a sergeant on that team to run it.
Okay, so basically the county issues you your budget that you work within.
Yes.
And then within that budget, you decide that you're going to commit X amount of dollars, $5,000 for the point team.
And a body. Yeah.
And then everybody, all the other agencies have to basically do the same thing.
Correct.
And it's a go.
Yep. And it's part of it. Part of that, our ability to do that is from the public safety levy too, so.
Yeah, so in my opinion, so that's a relatively low price to pay to keep our streets safer, to keep our kids from being able to have access to these drugs. And the monetary expense too for the community, to have a community that doesn't have as big of a drug problem, that also would result into a homeless problem and a problem where these people are also using all the other resources in the community.
True.
I imagine that we're probably money ahead by funding this point team. If you're just looking at the dollars, not to mention the safety aspect, but if you're just looking at the dollars, I think this team pays for itself.
It's pretty, I mean, there's no way to quantify a lot of those, things that the community costs.
I did. I'm an expert here. Trust me.
Okay. But yeah, no, it definitely eats up the costs. And I think it's something that if it didn't happen, the point team didn't happen, it would be worse. We'd be worse off.
Yeah, I absolutely think you guys would be. So that's something for the listeners out there to think about. You know, the next time something comes up, and like for Polk County, for example, the public safety levy, the little bit of money that we're spending to keep that levy funded and to give you guys the operating costs that you need is going a long ways and doing a lot to keep the community safe. And the bigger picture, you know, if people want to really look at how it affects their pocketbook, it's probably keeping their property prices at a higher level and things like that, because anytime you have a community that's better protected, that type of stuff is definitely influenced and affected.
Just quality of life too.
Quality of life is huge on that. Absolutely. So that's awesome. Crime's going down. The drug problems, you know, you guys, it's never going to be gone. You can't influence what's happening in the communities around us, unfortunately. But you guys are making a positive difference and you're chipping away at it.
Yep.
One of the things that I noticed in looking at some of the recent things that you guys have had to deal with, and it made me kind of reflect on the different DAs and the different counties and just the state justice system in general. How good are they protecting the law-abiding citizens? I noticed some of the recent things you guys have dealt with. The shooting at Goodwill, that suspect is on probation or was on probation. You had an attempted robbery at a marijuana grow off Highway 22.
Yep.
That suspect, and that was an attempted armed robbery.
Correct.
So very dangerous. That suspect is on probation. And then just yesterday, as a matter of fact, you had a stolen vehicle pursuit that ended up going through Rickreall and ended up, ironically, at the same exact Goodwill.
Yeah.
In West Salem. And that suspect was on probation also. So for me as a citizen, help me understand why do these factions of the criminal element keep getting released onto the streets and keep posing a problem for the community and for you guys to have to deal with? What's causing these various counties to not hold these people accountable for their crimes and put them back on the street and create a bigger problem?
So that's a complex problem. Each county is going to be different. Polk County, we supervise, not under my office, but within the county, they supervise all levels of people that are on probation. Other counties may not necessarily supervise folks that are lower risk. They only might focus on higher risk people, yet they'll still be listed as probation, just unsupervised probation. So Marion County, I know, is different. They, it's bigger. There's more people.
Yeah.
Their jail space, I think, is limited as well compared to ours, where we still have some room.
Comes down to money.
Yeah, it does come down to money. So there's all those things are in there. And some of these people on probation might have been doing well, but just now they just got caught. you know, doing something. They've been doing illegal things, but they just got caught. So,
in my opinion, I think the current legislators that we have in Salem, I think they're probably, some of their decisions aren't helpful to law enforcement and some of the legislation that they're putting out. You know, the states need or feeling that they want to, the reinvestment mandates that the governor's putting down to kind of put these people back into our society and limit their length of time that they can be incarcerated and things like that. I think ultimately it's going to pose a much bigger problem for the communities.
Yes and no, because some of the reinvestment things were grants that we receive is to keep people housed locally instead of sending them to prison, because their prison usage is pretty high, and so they're on the verge of having to create a new jail or new prison, where if they pay, they'll actually give us grant money to keep those people local. But we also created a treatment program within the jail for mental health, drug, and alcohol. So we know that they're going to get treatment. When they send to the state prison, they may or may not get treatment. So we have a little more control. So we are doing some things with that money the best we can, because otherwise they would just not get housed as long in prison.
So inside your jail, basically what I'm hearing is the criminals have more of an opportunity to reform and have a better chance and probably do better once they get out on the streets because of some of the programs that you guys are able to offer.
Yes, because, I mean, they're getting treatment inside, and then that treatment continues on the outside while they're on probation. So we can kind of maintain that continuity of service.
That's excellent. Again, that's another example of dollars well spent, in my opinion. So I think in the long run, it's probably saving us all money.
It should be, yes.
So you're, as a sheriff, you're mandated to maintain and run the jail.
That's one of them. Yeah.
How many beds do you got in there going right now?
We have 195 beds, but we're, it varies every day, but we're 100 to 40, 100 to 60 people in our jail at any given time.
And the reputation in Polk County kind of is if you get caught doing the crime in Polk County, you're going to do the time also.
You don't generally get booked and released. That's not the way it works because we have space available. If we didn't have space, that'd be a different story, but we're not there at that point.
And you would say that's a huge deterrent for criminals?
I've personally had folks that have been in custody that were concerned that we started heading west toward Dallas and when we're in West Salem because they wanted to go to Marion County Jail, but they ended up going to our jail. So the criminals know and understand the difference between the two.
That's good. So, yeah, I'm happy to live in a town that we know if somebody's going to do something wrong, that they're going to get a fair punishment for it. Absolutely. So let's talk about our wonderful governor, Kate Brown. And, I'm saying that with a big smile on my face for you listeners out there. Don't lynch me.
He was smiling.
That's right. So she made news a couple days ago because she was bragging and in a press conference saying how we are a sanctuary state. And so I was just curious, as a sheriff that's mandated by the Constitution, and actually a purist could argue the fact that the county sheriffs are possibly the only legal law enforcement in the state by our Constitution. I think we allow other agencies to have authority. But you guys being elected,
we're the only elected law enforcement in the state.
Absolutely. And I know you personally, so I know that you really take your oath to uphold the Constitution very seriously. And I know some of the things that come down the pipeline, frustrate you at times.
Sometimes.
And it might make it more difficult for you to determine, rules or wishes that come down from the governor versus what your oath is of the Constitution. And so when she's talking about sanctuary state, that's basically, in my opinion, it's saying we're ignoring federal law. And she's specifically talking about not cooperating with federal agencies and working with them when it comes to things like immigration and the ICE agencies and things like that. So as a sheriff in Oregon, how do you deal with that? And what is your relationship with these federal agencies? How do you feel about the things she's trying to do and what she's trying to turn our state into?
Yeah, so state law, it specifically says what we're allowed to, talk about with ICE if we're talking about immigration. It outlines what we can and can't talk about. And so we do that. We follow the law. We talk with ICE. We don't, shut them out because they're part of the overall process.
Mark, I'm going to have you hold that thought right there. I got to cut you off for a commercial break. Thanks, bud.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Mickey Garris.
Welcome back. We're here in the studio today with Sheriff Mark Garton, and we had to break for a commercial, but he was just starting to tell us about his relationship as the sheriff with federal agencies and the fact that our governor would like us to be a sanctuary state. And are you going to ignore that? Are you continuing to work with ICE agents? And, how do you feel about that?
We work with them because the law specifically says what we can and can't talk about with them. And so we follow the law. We let them know the things that we can let them know about. They come to our facility and pick up folks after they're done with the local sentence. So we don't restrict any of that activity. I mean, other counties take different positions on that, but I follow the law and what it says I can and can't do. And it's still, we're able to work well enough that we get the job done.
And once you say there's definitely a benefit in continuing a good relationship with those federal agencies and keeping that communication door open.
It's about relationships regardless of what agency, but it is about relationships when it comes down to it. So
excellent. Well, I'm glad you guys are continuing to do that. Well, I think what Kate's doing to this state is awful. I think she's been really detrimental, and to turn our back on the federal agencies that are your partners and so vital to the job that you do and vice versa, I think it's just disgusting. And we need to look out for our own citizens first, and we don't need to be protecting people that shouldn't be here. If you're coming here illegally, there's consequences, and we're all for immigration, but it's got to be gone through the right channels and through the legal process.
There's a law, and that's what we should follow.
Absolutely. Follow the law. Nobody should be above the law or exempt from the law, and that's what she's trying to do. There's so much hype right now, and it has been for the last 5 or 6 years about gun legislation, and obviously we know at the federal level the Democrats want to pass these new gun laws. They would like to take guns away from us altogether. If you listen to the candidates that are on stage
it's
for president, they flat out say they are going to come door to door and take our guns. I'd like to see them try that maneuver. But anyway, that is their stance. They're working right now on what they call, it's kind of been dubbed the red flag gun laws. Oregon, our legislators, is not really any better. The short session coming up, they're looking at more gun laws. A lot of these gun laws, when they're reviewed, appear to be unconstitutional, appear to absolutely infringe on our Second Amendment rights, and are just redundant. And we all know that criminal elements don't follow the law anyway. You can make laws for everything, but a guy that has the mindset to commit murder doesn't care what gun law he's breaking to do so. And so what's your take on these gun laws, and specifically when they're challenged as being unconstitutional laws, but legislators end up shoving them down our throats anyway and passing them? How do you deal with that in the county here?
Yeah, I look at it, it is the Constitution says what we're allowed to do. And if that is something that is going to get taken from us, my recourse that I have is going through the Oregon State Sheriff's Association to go to the legislature to talk about why this is bad or wrong or good, depending on what the circumstances.
Or unconstitutional.
Or unconstitutional. And really have that voice of a bigger group because, one lonely sheriff isn't going to change the minds of the legislature. So we have that force, and we have a good relationship over there too. And constitutional things, when people try to take those away from us, it erodes our values. And that's really what it boils down to for me. And so, when you talk about red flag laws and that kind of thing, there has to be some kind of due process for things. You can't just go and snatch guns from people just because you think that they're,
That's what I was just going to ask you. My understanding, these laws, there's no due process, and anybody could essentially report something. And under these new red flag laws they're wanting to implement, they could lose their rights and have their guns confiscated.
From what I understand, it's, anybody could file this complaint or whatever, and then there would be a hearing afterwards. But again, that's not the way due process works in my mind.
Well, I am glad to hear that you're going to uphold the Constitution and protect the citizens' rights. regardless of what kind of crazy legislation gets shoved down our throats. And we know there's a lot of things that are probably coming down the pipeline. And like you said, it takes many of us standing up together and taking on that fight. And, you know, you definitely have our support. We have your backs on that.
Thank you.
Polk County Public Safety Levy. We don't got a whole lot of time here, but, you know, that's a levy that basically you guys have in Polk County. And it's to give you funding for these different operations. Part of it's like we talked about, the point team, et cetera. And the community voted on that. And how's that working out for you guys?
It's fantastic. And this is our second go at it, the second round of it. This most recent time it passed back in May, about 70 to 25 or so, which is
awesome.
With fantastic. So that allows us to stay 24/7, keep our point team, keep some detectives doing what they need to do, and basically providing the service that we're supposed to be providing.
That's excellent. So again, I think that's bang for buck. I think that's money well spent. Mm-hmm. And in the long run, it probably saves the citizens money.
Yeah, it definitely would.
Yeah. So that really came about from, you know, back when we had these laws passed that put caps on the taxes that the county could implement.
Yep.
And then we ended up losing some of the revenue that we had from timber revenue and things like that, that really hamstrung the county and made it almost impossible for you guys to be able to operate at your full capacity.
Yeah, they may not give us money one year, but give us money the next year. It's a different amount every time, and so it was really hard to manage.
So Polk County, if you want to keep your community safe and keep these officers on the road doing the jobs and protecting us, serving and protecting, that Polk County Safety Levy is something we definitely want to support. And in doing so, we're supporting the deputies that are on the road protecting us. All right. Future, Mark Garten, what do you see? You got another sheriff running you?
I definitely do. So I'll be running for the next open position, which is in May. So, I'm happy where I'm at. And hopefully to the public, looks like I'm doing a good job. I try my hardest. And, you know, we may make mistakes along the way, but we're trying to do the right thing and for the people that I serve. And I'm happy to serve and in my capacity. It's awesome. It's a good honor.
Well, from what I've learned and from what I've known for the last several years, and knowing you personally, I think that you're the right fit for Polk County, and I think you're doing a wonderful job. And again, I just can't stress enough how thankful we are for law enforcement and the respect that I personally have for you guys. And from this end of the mic, I'm going to do everything I can to help the community understand what it is you guys need, what it is you go through, and that you guys are there to help. And we need to be giving you guys the resources and the tools and the support that makes it so you guys can go out there and do your job and feel good about doing your job. So
yeah, thank you.
So I appreciate you coming into the studio, Mark. It's been very educational. I hope the listeners learned something. I'm sure they did. And are you game for coming back and
sure.
keeping us informed
sure.
on the happenings?
Yeah, whatever.
Excellent, my friend. Well, you are always welcome. And thank you again for doing what you guys do. All right, folks. Hey, let's talk about my rant of the day. So, breaking news today, Washington Nationals, Game 5 of the World Series. You guys baseball fans out there, Donald Trump announced that he's come to Game 5. Nationals snubbing our president instead of having him come out and throw in that first pitch. They're bringing a celebrity chef out that has some restaurants in Washington, D.C., and apparently he is very vocal against our president and against the values that we, the people who elected the president, believe in. And so I just think the disrespect that people show for our president nowadays, it's appalling. And no matter whether you like the man or don't like the man, there needs to be a level of respect in this country. Could you imagine if President Obama showed up to Game 5 of the World Series and he was snubbed? That would be headline news everywhere, and people would be incredibly upset about that. But because it's Donald Trump, I guess new rules apply, and people just don't offer him the same amount of respect that the President of the United States, the Commander-in-Chief, deserves. So let's let them know that we disapprove of that, and let's support our president. Let's pray for each other. Let's pray for this country. God bless you guys. We will see you next time on Patriot Uprising Radio. Thank you for tuning in.
You've been listening to Patriot Uprising Radio right here on KSLM and KSLM.news.